We're still talking about faith. How many of us realize that God expects us to live or to function by faith? How many of you really understand that? This is not an occasional thing, but we must declare and live by faith. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. I'm not going to be doing a lot of recapping today, so you had to go back and listen to the other lessons to catch up with us. Romans 1, verse 17. And while I'm at that point, go ahead and hit that like, share, and subscribe button for those of you looking online. Amen? Get the word out there for us. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Now, this is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, shall or must live by faith. So this is not something you'll be able to do just or at a whim. It's something you're commanded to do. And, you know, while you're standing back there, son, I'm so glad you got up and moved, because I'm going to need you to demonstrate something later on. I'll let you know at what part. With your handsome self. That's my son. I can call him handsome. Hallelujah. So we see that faith is not an option in the kingdom. Walking by faith or living and functioning and operating in faith is not an option, as most Christians have made it. Faith is not an option. Glory to God. It is a must. However, far too many Christians are relying on miracles. I'm going to help you a little bit this morning by the Holy Spirit as an everyday event. And what this does, look at 1 Corinthians, because we're going to walk through this Bible a little bit today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because what we'll do, we'll put dependency on somebody else's faith to create a miracle. And you're not developing faith, because Christians are relying on miracles as an everyday event. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, you can read the whole dissertation here. This is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And they are as the Holy Spirit wills. You can't make them operate whenever you feel like it, because you don't own them. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see that? But this is not how we are to live. We're not supposed to live our personal lives from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are for work. You're going to discover they are for work. But for your personal life, you've been commanded to live by faith. How many of y'all just understood what I said? But if you wake up every morning looking for a miracle to happen, instead of you living by faith, you're going to be greatly disappointed. See, living by miracles is how the Israelites lived, because they did not have God living on the inside of them. So they had no expectation of believing like you should believe today. And God had to constantly perform miracles to get them to obey. You shouldn't live like that as a believer. I'm going to help you, because I know some of y'all got places where you trying to believe for. This is going to help you this morning. Those online, get your pen and your pad out and your Bible, and you pay attention this morning. Because God had to constantly do something to get them to obey. And you see, soon as one man of God died off and another came, they were always sinning and failing. Because they were looking for signs, wonders, and miracles as a staple of life. When signs, wonders, and miracles are a primary way of convincing the unbeliever, they are part of the tools you use for working. And we try to make them work in our everyday life so we don't get the best results. I know, it's going to help you. Now, don't get me wrong. We have many Christians who might need a miracle. That's because their faith, said their faith, is underdeveloped. This is why faith, according to what Jesus authored and finished, has to be taught in the local congregation. Aren't you glad you're part of Raptor Worship Center, where the word gets taught? One of the greatest things that can happen to a believer is having the revelation or the unfolding of the word that shows us all we have, all that's been provided. When you got a revelation of what's been provided for you, miracles are not a great turn-on point for you the way you think they should be. You say, what? Why? We ought to be a vessel that signs, wonders, and miracles can flow through. Say, flow through. See, you're supposed to be in position because of your everyday living by faith that signs, wonders, and miracles can flow through you as the Spirit wills. He should be able to say, hey, let's go do something, lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, because he's giving you direction. Why? Your life of faith brings him to that place with you. All right, y'all getting it? But we as believers are not to spend our entire Christian life waiting on a miracle for ourselves. Waiting for money to fall out the sky. Waiting for this to happen. Waiting for that to happen. See, we think that's faith, but actually you're wishing. Because you're counting on something miraculous to happen instead of commanding things to change. You hear the difference? Look at Mark 16. Y'all see me using my real Bible. I'm learning again because it's helping me. Mark 16. So if I'm a little slow, that's all right. You catch up with me, or I catch up with you. You get them before me. Mark 16, look at verse 7. And Jesus, this is but look at verse 7, Mark 16, verse 7, yeah. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. I wrote something down wrong, apparently. Oh, verse 17, that make a difference. Okay. Instead of 7, look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what? These signs shall follow them that what? Okay, so that means you got to already have a handle on believing for the signs to follow. Signs should follow you. Because you are a believer, not just because you are born again, but because you believe. You're believing for signs, wonders, and miracles to do what? Flow through you. So believers will be given power to perform miracles. And see, we see that right there. And it says, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the what? And they what? They must recover. Why? Because now you are a vessel of faith. And God has something to flow miracles, signs and wonders and miracles through. So listen, as we develop our faith, signs, wonders, and miracles will flow through you. Why? Because God's trying to prove to the unbeliever, said the unbeliever, the faithfulness of God. That's why the Israelites were set aside for his use. because he wanted them to influence the world. And everywhere they went, they set terror in the hearts of people. Did you read that? It said, and God was having a lot of fun doing it. I could see it all in the scripture. He would have a lot of fun. And he didn't care about the people dying. Did y'all realize that? When they didn't do what he wanted them to do, he didn't have no problem getting rid of them. Y'all got too many issues dealing with folks that are not healthy for you. God didn't have that issue. God said, oh, you don't want to obey me? No problem. Okay. Ground open up. You going to hell. Take your tent, your dog, your cat, everything in your house, go to hell with you. Everything. He didn't care. Your wife, your children, everybody was going that belonged to you. And you read that, you said, God must have been mean. No, he wasn't. God didn't play. Why? Because he understood the man's heart about things. And look, if the people rise up, if he left the kin folks, you know, they're going to try to come back. God says, I know what to do with all of y'all. See, but signs, wonders, and miracles are for the unbeliever. Because we're living by faith. Oh, Jesus. Now, there is a place in God where we can rise above our circumstance. How many of you believe that? How many of you know that God's best is not divine healing? That's not his best. But divine health is God's best. That's where you don't need to be healed. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's real good. Where you now see, but thank God for divine healing. Say, thank God for healing. Because divine healing can lead you into divine health. But that still means you got to do something to cooperate. It's called you got to add faith to what you're hearing and then do something different to bring divine health. Oh, anybody seeing that but me? See, miracles are as the Spirit wills, and most times the person being healed doesn't have enough faith invested to manifest it. That's why they need a miracle. You shouldn't live that way as a believer. That means you got a faith problem. That means you got a word problem. Because if you lack faith, you lack in word. How does faith come? Hearing what? Hearing the word of faith. If you need healing, you need some word taught on healing. Mm-hmm. This is why most Christians wait until they are attacked to start quoting scriptures about healing. Instead of having a daily lifestyle of believing healing, just live in health. I can remember years ago, almost 20-some years ago, I began to teach a women's class, and I taught them how to handle the menopause. How many of y'all was present? And I told them, if you don't start now in your early years, by the time you get where you go in the menopause, you're going to have more issues than you should have. Some of them didn't pay it any mind, or they got there talking, ooh, I'm about to lose my mind. I'm going like, okay, something you didn't do right. You didn't pay attention to what I was teaching. The word of faith came. Now, for those that obey, we didn't struggle with that. I mean, I had the hot flashes for a little while, but then they just disappeared. You know why? I took the same word. I didn't have none of the issues. My hair didn't fall out, none of that stuff. I didn't get sickly, none of that stuff that they say you have in the change of life. Mm-mm. Because you know what? I started when I heard the word of faith on it. So, but you can't wait till you get attacked. Now, you have to do something if you're already under attack. But you shouldn't wait till you got something in your body before you start standing on healing. It should be a regimen, a diet that you eat every day concerning health. Mm. Anybody learning? So when an attack comes, no faith has been developed in this area in most cases. This is why most Christians end up needing a miracle, because they don't have any faith developed towards healing. Look at Psalms 107, verse 20. Y'all ought to know this one. If you got healing scriptures in your house, I know you know this one. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word. He sent his word, say his word, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Okay, so in other words, it reads, God sent his word. Who is the living word? Who's the living word? Jesus. God sent Jesus. Did Jesus die for our healing? Absolutely. And he healed. The word say healed with the E-D on the end. That means it's past tense. Already done. Say already done. He healed you, already done. Say already done. And he delivered you. Say already done. It says past tense. He already delivered you. He already delivered you from every destruction. You already been delivered. So to beg for healing is to say God has not done it yet. Ooh, Jesus. You just called God a liar. Because you're begging for something you already have. Look at 1 Peter 2. This is a very familiar one. 1 Peter 2. Look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Who bore the sins? He bore it. And in that sin, he took everything that was attached to you. On the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were. Is it past tense or past tense? We were. Somebody said we were. That means you're not gonna be. You're not gonna be. You were already done, healed. You're born again, but it doesn't end there. He gave us the body stripes, past tense, we were healed. It's already done. So he just didn't leave you at born again. He just didn't make you righteous. He gave you back health. Now either you're going to believe that or you don't. You can have your sickness as long as you want to. And God will let you have it. Because a lot of people wear their sickness like a badge. They really do. They go to the doctor. The doctor say, well, you need to take this. Well, you know, I got to be on this. And the doctor said this. And the doctor said that. And the doctor said this. And I'm going like, well, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in all of this? Does he have a part in this at all? Or this just between you and the doctor? What stays at the doctor's office? Okay, what's done at the doctor's office stays at the doctor's office, right? Because it's just between you and the doctor. Jesus can't get in there and interrupt nothing the doctor said. Oh, I'm messing with you this morning. Because some of y'all wear that stuff like it's a badge, something that you just saw there, and you wear it like it's an honor coat. When Jesus already healed you. It's like saying, I've been delivered from alcohol, but I'm still saying I'm an alcoholic. To say that the Lord is gonna do anything is to say God has not done it. Because God ain't gonna do nothing for you. Because Jesus ain't coming back down here and going to the cross. He ain't coming out of hell again so you can be right. You need to change the way you believe and talk. Because God not gonna heal you. If you waiting on the gunner, you're going to be waiting. You need to accept the already done. Anybody hearing it? Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 6 through 11. This is why we miss so many things, because we won't go to the word to get our answer and get the faith that God has provided in his word. Romans 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Okay, hold on. You mean the word talks? The word of faith talks? Oh, yes. And it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Oh, it talks like this. The word of faith talks like this. Say, the word of faith talk like this. And guess what it doesn't say? It says, the word of faith does not say in his heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down again. The word of faith does not say, according to verse 7, or who shall go into hell, I'm paraphrasing it, into descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead again. The word of faith doesn't talk like that. Ooh, Jesus. But what saved the word of faith? The word is in your mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess. Oh, what does confess mean? That means I got to say something. If I own up to what I say, if I own up to it, I confess it, I own up to it. That if I shall own up with my mouth the Lord Jesus, if I own up the Lord Jesus, that what he did, he really did. I got to take ownership of what he did for me. If I'm willing to say that with my mouth and believe it in my heart that God truly raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Let's go a little bit deeper. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth. For with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth, something has to come out of there that coincides with what you say you believe in your heart. Because if your mouth not matching what you say in your heart, you lying. You are lying and the truth is not in you. You're saying what you think is right and what people need to hear, but that's not what's in your heart. Because what's in your heart is coming out your mouth. And when you go home, you know what come out your mouth. You can say a lot of things in my presence or anybody's presence that you deem spiritual. But that don't mean that's what you believe. It's what you say when you're there by yourself. I don't know why the Lord not answered my prayer. Mm-hmm. You just told yourself the answer. Ah, hallelujah. Anybody learning? Look at verse 11. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall never be ashamed. He won't let you be ashamed when you believe on him. So the Lord didn't make you ashamed of anything. You didn't understand something and you didn't appropriate the word in your life correctly. Now turn to Hebrews 12. I told you we're walking this morning through this word. Hebrews 12. Look at verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to turn to 1 Peter 1, verses 7 and 9. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, say, let me, put aside, say it, every weight and the sin which doth easily beset me, and let me run with patience the race that is set before me. Looking unto Jesus, not your situation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That word despising means he made light of it. He made little of it. He didn't go into, they're trying to strip me. They're making the shame of me. He didn't go into that. He didn't have what we would have today, a pity party. It says he despised the shame. He made little of it. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what? It says that pity destroys faith. See, you can't be in faith and pity at the same time. Because, you know, pity can be a good valve release. It'll let some stuff out, and you take a nap after having a great big pity party. You sleep really good. But you done accomplished nothing in the spirit realm for your good. All you let out was a bunch of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Even if it's hurting you right now, you need to talk faith. Listen to me. You have to talk faith. That's what Jesus did. He's our example, right? Said, Jesus is my example. So we must look to Jesus, since Jesus is our example. Jesus endured the cross, and he made light of the shame. How could he do that? Because Jesus put his eyes on the joy, not the issue. His attention was on the joy that would be the result of what he was going through. Jesus became our example how to handle all kinds of pressure, everything that come against you. He said, take your eyes off it. What do you really want to happen as a result? If you're going through something, you don't just want to go through something and then you come out, you're all beat up, broke down, and looking bad and stuff like that. You want to come out looking right. You want to come out with some joy and some peace. When it takes some understanding about faith to go through it and overcome. And Jesus understood faith. Jesus focused on what had been promised instead of what was happening to him. Jesus didn't like the nails going through his feet. Nobody that's sane like somebody hanging them on the cross. They strip you naked and put you on the cross. Nobody likes that. But Jesus didn't focus on that. Had he did, man, we might have never gotten redeemed. He'd have gotten all the way to the cross and then missed the mark. No. Jesus focused on what had been promised him instead of what was happening. And you go back and read in the Psalms, it talks about how his bones would not be broken, how he's going to come out of the grave on the third day. See, the Bible told him he had his promises. Oh, Jesus. See, he had a promise given to him that was working. And that's what he set his faith and his eyes on. Look at Hebrews 11. Man, I'm going to tell you something the truth. The devil have tricked the body of Christ too long. Look at verse 1. Faith is. Now, we can say it like this. Faith is now, which means what tense is that? Present tense. Absolutely. It's that faith is going to always be in the present tense. If it's gonna be, it's not faith. Because what you're saying, it hasn't been done yet. And God has to come back and do something different to make it happen for you. Faith is always now. It's always present. So we must always keep faith in the now, because that's where it belongs. Now, let's keep reading that same scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, say evidence, of things not seen. Now, hope in this scripture is like the goal setter. Hope shows you what is possible. But hope by itself will not bring the results that you're looking for. It's like going window shopping. It shows you what's possible. But if you don't go in the store and buy, guess what you don't have? What you're looking at. You learning? Turn quickly to Hebrews 4. We in the same book. Look at Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. And we're gonna see something here. We've read this many times, but let's read it again. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about the Israelites. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? In them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they should enter into my rest, although the works were what? The works were what? Wait a minute. The works were what? How long? From the foundation of the world. Now what you gonna do with that one? See, according to God, Canaan already belonged to the Israelites. 12 spies went up and saw the promised land. They even brought back evidence. Say evidence. They brought back fruit that the promised land actually existed. You can't get fruit from a no land that does not exist. They brought back evidence that the promised land actually existed. But say, but. They did not believe it. They didn't add any faith to what they saw or heard. Therefore, the having the promise did not benefit them. Because, you know, most of that generation did what? They died in the wilderness. Because they didn't believe. Perhaps you've heard a good inspiring lesson taught, especially in this church. It actually stirred you up. But how many of you know that if you don't go home and take that word and begin to put your whole life on it, not just an occasion visit, if you don't take that word and begin to eat it daily, just like you eat your meals every day, and develop an absolute, unshakable trust in that word, it would not profit you. It moved you, it stirred you, but it don't profit you until you go home and make it your way of operating. Here's my example. We get there. I tell either one of you to be at my home by 8:15 tomorrow morning. And I said, don't be late. I have some money for you. I didn't tell you how much or how little. Now, depending on your everyday habit, say my everyday habit, of trusting or not trusting people, you better hear this. Because some of your habits keep you broke, sick, and defeated. You might say, Monday is my day that I get to sleep an extra 30 minutes. Or you might say, it's probably just a couple of $100. I ain't desperate for no money like that. Hold on. I can handle what I'm dealing with already. I don't want to have to get up earlier than normal to be at her house by 8:15. So you go to bed that night. And the next day you wake up at 9 a.m. and then say, I'm going to go to her house anyway just to see if what she said is true. How many of you know it's too late, baby? It's too late. See, you got to learn that when you hear the word of faith, to put your confidence in it. Why? Because faith is now. Faith is now. When you hear what you're hearing today, you need to grab hold of it and have faith in it now. Go back to Hebrews 11:1. Because you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. It's like I said last Sunday. Sometimes it's what you believe that creates doubt. Let's read verse 1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the evidence. That faith is the evidence. So what is evidence? Proof. So faith is the proof. Well, what is proof? That which validates the existence of something that you don't presently have tangibly or physically. Sunday, you can excuse yourself. This woman will need you in just a few minutes. I want you to go in the sound room. And I'm going to call you 3 times, but you come on the 3rd, not the 1st 2. That's the way we're going to play this game today. So then evidence is proof, and proof takes the place. And proof is that which validates, rather, the existence of something that does not tangibly in your space yet. It's not in your house. It's not in your hands. It's not in your bank account yet. Listen, because if you had it, you would not need proof of it. You would have it. That's why you have to use faith. So then the evidence is proof, and proof takes the place of whatever it is proofing for. Until. It manifests. Therefore, proof is temporary. Proof is temporary until it manifests. And once it manifests, you don't have to have faith for it to arrive, because it's already present. Oh, example, your checkbook or your debit card is proof that you have an account. You don't see any of the money until you go to withdraw it. That's when the money manifested, when you put a demand on it to have it. Because they're not carrying you in the vault every time you show up. They let you know they got money in the bank. You got to have faith that because I got a bank account and you gave me a debit card and I got real money in the bank, I can withdraw whenever I need. See, that's how faith works. Now, faith is the evidence or the proof, then faith must be something itself. How can it be the evidence of something if it's not something itself? It has to be something in order to be the evidence or the proof. So Hebrews 11:1 tells us that said it's the evidence of things not seen. So if I can't see it with my natural eye, then where am I seeing? Okay, this means that I must leave the realm of my physical senses. I got to stop depending on the taste, touch, feel, see, hear, and go into the unseen realm. Well, that's the realm of hope. Because hope showed me all the possibilities. But it won't get me what I need all by itself. I got to take faith, said take faith, which is a currency that operates in both realms. I got to take the faith of God and go into the unseen realm. Woo, Jesus. Y'all ain't happy as I am. Which means I must place my attention on the unseen realm and not the seen. Because everything you see is temporary. It is temporary. All the proof you have is temporary. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Because it's in this seen realm. All right. Now, I know my son exists. I have to see him in the realm of the spirit. Because the naked eye cannot see him. I cannot see where he is. I know he exists. Are y'all hearing me? Because I don't see him physically does not mean he doesn't exist. He exists. So I'm going to call for him to come. DJ, come to me now. Time go by. And if you're not careful, the devil gonna mess with your faith. Because he's trying to get you out of that unseen realm. And then you call again, DJ, come to me now. Now I got to stay in faith. I got to stay in the unseen realm. I can't be distracted by what's happening. Okay, yeah, they're trying to tell me they're going to do this. And the doctor said that. And the bills are saying this. But I got to stay in the unseen realm. Because I'm retrieving my answer that's going to fix this seen realm. DJ, come to me now. Hallelujah. DJ shows up. What did I just do? I took the faith that Jesus authored and finished, and I called him from the unseen realm into the seen. Woo! So how do we do that? Our faith has to do it, because that's what we've been commanded to live by. We've been commanded to live this way. And every time you get your eyes fixed on what is seen, you're going to lose the battle. You must live as a supernatural being. Remember Superman. He came from a realm that the earth had never seen and been impacted by. And he could do things that ordinary people couldn't do. Because he came from a different realm. You are from a different realm. But when you try to live in this seen realm exclusively, you lose. You must go to the unseen realm and retrieve what has already been done. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.